We thank everybody for coming today for part one of our series for today. It's October 29th that we're having our study. We're going to be looking specifically at the preface on the book, People of Color in the Bible. We wanted to go over that just so that we can have some type of background of the situation of how the book was written and what it was written for. No, matter of fact, let's do this. Let's back out of preface, and I want to go to the intro. So if you do a back on your back arrow, and if you come down, you should be at the table of contents. Hold on a second. When we go over to intro, if you click on that under the table of contents, Okay, that's not going to work for me. All right, because it cut everything off. So I'm going to just use my book. Okay, in the book, it should be the same as in the online version. Okay. All right. Now, I didn't write the intro to this. We had another person who was an Egyptologist. He wrote the intro to the book, and he did a good job. He had a better background than I did over ancient history, so he was able to put some things in here that were going on in this. During these times. Okay, it says, the book that you are about to read addresses some of the major questions that exist around the ethnicity of the people in the Bible, the Torah, and the Quran. Most people today assume that the people living in lands mentioned in these books are at the time of their writing are the same people who occupied these lands today. Okay, we have someone's child in the background. If you can hit star 6, that'll put you on mute so that we don't hear that. Don't feedback to. Okay. Okay, nothing could be further from the truth. Today's populations reflect centuries of movement, intermarrying, and conquest. As a matter of fact, today's world populations contains people the Holy Book do not mention at all. Okay, we want to pause there on this first paragraph. There's a few things that are being mentioned here. When we, this book is built on, as it says, the Bible and the Torah, which is the first 5 books of the Bible. Quran and mentions Quran. We don't quote the Quran, but these are ancient books that were written back in that time that gives documentation of what was going on. There's a series of books, or there's a book out, and it talks specifically about the quote goes that when you look at the Bible, you're looking at the landscape of Egypt. So in Egypt, a lot of different things had occurred in the Bible that's reflected in the Bible. And so without the background of understanding the ancient world and the Egyptian culture and the things that were going on, you could misunderstand what the scriptures were saying. Let me give you an example. There's 3 things that we need to keep in mind when we're studying ancient history. We need to keep in mind who were the people that were living at that time. And to understand who the people that were living at that time, you need to know what time frame we're talking about, and you need to know the location. So there's 3 major things that are important. Now, I'll give you an example. Like today, we're here in America, and here in America, what we have is a group of people that run America that are not the people who were around in the BC times. Okay? So now the question is, if we're talking about America, or if we're talking specifically about Maryland or Florida or the East Coast or wherever we might be referring to in America, the people that are here today are not the same people that existed around 1000 BC in America. So that's where the key falls. Then if you find a book, or if you find documents, or if you find tablets that go back till around 1000 BC, and then when you pull them up out of the ground, you get different people to look at them, and it depends on whose land it is. So if you find it on somebody's backyard and find it in their land, then they would say it's theirs. And then, but they wouldn't probably be able to interpret it because they wouldn't know the language, and they wouldn't know what the people were talking about. So then they would ask, I guess the question should be, who can best interpret and understand the writings that were found on your particular land? Now, people might go back and say, the government might say, hey, this is our property. Okay, well, why is it your property? It's found on my land. Well, because we own all the land and everything, and we just give it to you in care. So this is ours. And since you can't interpret it and understand it, then we want to put it in the museum somewhere. Okay, and then we'll have some people interpret it and write it out and put all of this so that everyone can benefit from it. That's what they would say. So the people that would investigate and that would actually read the documents and then do the interpretation, and that's where the key falls, interpretation of what somebody was writing in 1000 BC, and then they would put their interpretation and translation of it and then interpret it after they translate it using linguistics to be able to say, okay, this is what this means and this is what this refers to. Now, the question should be asked, okay, first of all, whose book is it? The government might say, it's our book. The person who found it says it's their book. And then someone else might say it's somebody else's book. And the question is, okay, if it was written around 1000 BC, who was here 1000 BC? Surely not the people that we call Americans today. They wasn't here. So we talk about Native Americans. So it's a Native American book written by Native Americans, written for Native Americans, to be used as an interpretation for Native Americans. Interpretation, who would understand that time frame? So you have this big debate of whose book it is, who should be the right to interpret it, and who will have the right interpretation. And so I would throw that question out to you guys before we try to address that. What do y'all think? We got three other voices out there.
The question is, whose book?
Yes, whose book is it? And who should interpret it? And who would have the most correct interpretation? Now, you got your linguistics, remember? Mm-hmm. Those are the people that in America, this is Western world, America, their viewpoint, that it's theirs. You have the guy who found it, or lady who found it, and they can't interpret it because they don't know linguistics. Then you have the Native Americans, who obviously understand their language and might understand their interpretation. So, yes, whose book is it? Who was it written to? Who's it written for? Who was it written about? And who has the correct interpretation? Yes, I'm sure all the questions are not easy here. But it makes you think, because we find ourselves in that same situation. All right, who would like to take a stab at it?
And we're talking about the Bible, right?
No, we're talking about a book that was found in America, in your backyard, that date back to 1000 BC. Or tablet, or whatever it is. Ancient writings. Lola? Any comment? Benjamin?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I was having a time getting off this unmute. They kept muting me.
Well, okay.
Well, if the book was found in the backyard, it certainly couldn't be the people, I don't think, currently living there, because they don't even know how the book got there. They're claiming it simply because it's where they claimed the land or whatever. So you would have to go back and try to unearth the culture or the people that existed during the time of the book. So it would not be who currently owns it, but rather the people to whom it referred and who wrote it that 1,000 years ago. So, and I would assume we are thinking now in terms of the scriptures.
No, we're not making no parallel to scriptures yet. We keep it right
there.
Oh,
don't go there?
No,
okay.
We're not going there yet. No. Eventually we will, but not at this point.
Okay.
Because we haven't defined the basic one that's here for today.
Oh, okay.
So we dare not go back that far.
Okay.
So who's supposed to interpret it? The government says it's theirs. The government wants to interpret it. They'll give it to their linguistics. Okay, so you have all of these dilemmas here. And who has the right interpretation? Because you still have your Native Americans who we might call illegal aliens if they come from Mexico.
But it's just like the Bible. I mean, most interpretations are different, even though they kind of all end up in the same direction. Everyone who studies the Bible have a different interpretation of what they perceive is what the Bible is saying, how they study it, how they find.
Okay, you guys, I do not want to take this to the Bible.
Okay.
Y'all keep pushing it to the Bible. This is, right now we're talking about just an ancient book.
Just a book.
Just an ancient book, tablets or whatever we want to call them, found in your backyard.
I found the book in my backyard.
In America. And as Lola said, yes, we need to go back to find out what the culture was. We need to find out what the language was so that we can interpret it. So it can at least be translated, at least. And then translated into English, I would assume. And then interpreted to try to make some interpretation of what they were saying, why they were saying it, and how does it relate. This is not the Bible. This is 1000 B.C.
So when they wrote it, they were writing it to the people back in those days.
Okay. Whose book is it?
Who owns it? If it's found in my backyard?
No. We didn't say who owns it. Okay. We're not saying who owns it because the government can own it because they can just supersede that. So, no. We're not going to talk about who owns it. Whose book is it?
The people to whom it was written.
Good point. Right. It's not the guy who found it in his backyard. It's not the government. But everybody will claim it. And so that's where people will have the problem. Okay, well, who's right? Depends on what perspective you're looking at it from. So that's why I'm trying to get us to see that it's more deeper than just, you know, hey, I say and you say and all that stuff. It's much more deeper than that because we're dealing with now the government can supersede and, you know, just like the government can tell you get off the land and they're putting a highway through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, I mean, so we have all of these issues. So what is for the greater good? They would say it's greater good for you to give it to us so that we can interpret it and have our linguistics, you know, do all of the interpretation and we can put it in a museum so everybody can see and we can do that, which is, sounds good and noble, no question about it. But now my question is, okay, we know whose book it is. Okay, it's the Native Americans' book, okay? It's not the world's book. not the government's book. Okay, so now the question is, who can interpret it, and who would have the correct interpretation?
The Native Americans in this case.
Okay, but the government will say they don't that they don't understand their culture as we would.
Mm.
Of course, you know they have to throw that down. You know it's not going to be just give it to the people who own whose book it really is. No, it's never that simple. So you have to have outsiders interpret somebody else's culture, all of their stuff, and now they have, quote-unquote, become, the Westerners have now become the, what do we call it, the scholars, because that's what we call them, scholars, the authorized, sanctioned scholars. Now, those three words go together. You have regular scholars who are not authorized and who are not sanctioned, which is what you're calling the Native Americans. They have not gone through the school system to be educated to do that. Then you have the ones who have been educated to study the Native American life, date them back, and become experts, quote-unquote, or scholars in those areas, and those are what we call authorized because they went through the system, sanctioned because they give them degree and said, yes, you can do this, scholars. Okay? So these are the things that we're dealing with. So unless we understand it on this realm, there's no way we dare not touch the Bible. We dare not touch that. That is much more complicated because we have some other levels on it. But this one is a clean one. So that's why we are looking at it from this perspective so that we can get a clarity of this. So then that's where the debate is. Those sanctioned scholars who will take the book, who will, you know, no matter what, interpret it, who will, no matter what, maybe put them in a museum, hopefully they would, so that everybody can look at it and it can be accessible to the public, so any Native American or any American or African American or European American, anybody around the world can come and see it, and if they know the language and they know interpret, they can do it, so that it is available to the public. Okay. Now, Native Americans will come along and look at it, and they might say, "Hey, we don't think that's what that means." This is how we believe what they're saying means. Now you have a discrepancy of the interpretation of that. All right. Any comments from anyone else before we Benjamin, you have something?
So where are we now? We've established that the people on whose land it was found are better able to interpret, but because the government now owns the land, they're saying we will have people interpreted who's been sanctioned to do so. So where are we left with who? What are you going to get? A whole mass of confusion. You got people who think they know because it was written to and about them or learning that it's theirs. And you've got the government saying, or whoever else, saying that we have people who's going to interpret it for us. So what are we left to surmise from all this?
You'll have two versions.
So, yeah, okay. Oh, so the people are going to go ahead and try or go ahead and interpret it themselves then?
Well, only if you're Native American and you're tied to that group or that tribe, because
mm-hmm.
different tribes had different things. So it's not just anybody can do it. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, if you are and if you know the language and it's part of your culture, you didn't have to find it on your land because most Native Americans are on reservations. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not finding anything on their reservations. Reservations are probably not even. So anyway, so bottom line is you have two versions. That's my point.
That's the
now,
point. Oh.
Which one is correct? Aha. Aha. Now you get to the point. Right. So you still have two versions.
Mm-hmm.
Because one version is the sanctioned, you know, authorized sanctioned scholar's viewpoint, which is what dominates the world today. So when you read, when you go to school and you're reading about history and world history and all the history and all of whatever we're learning here in America, you're learning from who? Authorized sanctioned scholars, their books. When you are reading, and it doesn't matter if it's Bible, it doesn't matter if it's geography, it doesn't matter if it's science, it doesn't matter if it's any of these things. These are what you're reading, period. Okay? So these are the things that we have been taught or indoctrinated to believe, because we don't have access to the other, you know, anything else, period. So when you go to school, they have what they call a curriculum. Inside the curriculum, now I had given a presentation. They asked me to do a presentation at Oakwood College a few years back, and to the students. And when I was there, the goal was, okay, what is the future? Where should we be going? We're students, we're trying to figure this out. What's your, you know, so that's what I think the theme was. So I said, okay, I was supposed to give a motivational talk to help them, encourage them as they go through school. So my point was that, okay, we have a lot of teachers, okay? We need an education system because we're being miseducated, okay? As we are being miseducated, how do we get true education out of this whole deal? And so I had mentioned that in the past, it was important for us to have teachers. And so we had teachers, and so that's where most of the people were going into becoming teachers, which was a good thing so that you can teach the children. But now I made mention that teachers, we don't need our new people to be teachers anymore. We have enough of them. We got too many of them, really. We need those who are going to write the curriculum that's going to now change what the authorized sanctioned scholars have been telling us through miseducation. So the point was, I want you guys to think about being those who write what the teachers will teach.
Mm-hmm.
Not be the teachers and you only can teach what the system tells you to teach.
Uh-huh.
And that's the only way that we can free our people. That's the only way anybody can become free. As long as you're using their curriculum, using their books, using their education system, then all you can be is educated to reflect their thoughts. That's all.
Being right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you now, true education versus miseducation. Miseducation is for you to, as some people would say, Simon Says. You say, you do what I say. If you can repeat after me, then I can give you an A. That's miseducation. True education is, it gets you to think, analyze, understand what's going on so that you can make correct decisions. Two different worlds. They're not trained the same. They don't think the same. There's nothing that's the same. And so I make application. When we talk about John the Baptist and Yeshua, when we talk about them, we talk specifically about both of them failed the education of the day. They were true thinkers, and they were not following the quote-unquote the rabbinical priesthood and the Roman laws and everything else that was going on. They taught outside of the system.
Right.
The curriculum that Yahweh has given to them, that's what they were giving to the people. So today, we, in Revelation chapter 18, it says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and it goes on. This is where we are being called. We're being called out from this system. And we know that this system doesn't work. It's non-sustainable is the word that I use. And not just I use, the whole system, everybody agrees. Yes, we have created a non-sustainable system that we are living in the West. And we're pushing it around the world so that everyone else can become part. Versus the Aborigine lifestyle that was originally given and that not many people follow, which is outside of the regular realm of things. So when we're talking specifically about people migrating and moving, okay, we have to be careful of who's doing the interpretation, because in the first paragraph, it talked about most people today assume that the people living in lands mentioned in these books at the time of their writing are the same people who occupy these lands today.
Mm.
Now, is that what we usually thought?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's our first mistake. Because that's why I gave you the example in America, and that's why I dated back to 1000 BC.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the people here today. And they do not have the same thinking, do not have the same mentality. Nothing is the same.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to try to figure out what is actually going on so that we can know, okay, if these aren't the people and this isn't what's going on, then what is truth? Or what is really, okay, so since they're not the same people, that's what it says, nothing could be further from the truth. But that's what we were all thought to believe. Today's populations reflect centuries of movement. Okay, so people, as we know here, that people from Great Britain were moved here, and they became the pilgrims and so forth. So, yeah, so there's a movement of different people. Intermarriage has occurred, especially in the white-black community where we have mulattoes and all different type of things. Conquest has happened. The Native American land have been conquered, and they've been put in reservations. I call them concentration camps myself. But that's beside the point. Reservations just sounds a little better. Now, I don't know if you guys knew. I met a Native American, and he said that they have to carry around cards for ID to show that they're Americans. Did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Anybody else knew that?
In the last class, Professor. I think we discussed it in the last class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was like a shock to me. I was like, what? What? What are you talking about? Yes, and he showed me the card.
People who were originally here, right?
Yeah, the Native Americans, their land. And I'm saying, well, I don't have to have no card showing who I am. Why do you? So that was interesting. Who just came on? Someone just came on or just went off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So That was news to me. But that's the situation that they find themselves in. So are they treated like we are? No.
No.
You got to tell me, you got to have some ID. No, you're not even treated. But this is your land. And so like we read right there, conquest. That was that word, conquest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, I'm going to give you another example. Okay. When we read about American history, we do have three different versions: the European version, the African American version, the Native American version, each one seeing the same situations that they lived in through three different eyes. Now, the question is, which is correct? We're back to that again. You don't have two now. You have three. Mm-hmm. Now, which one is the authorized sanctioned version of the three? And which ones are considered, or most likely considered, non-acceptable? Because they don't have the scholarly research, as they would say, and nor do they have the background to write such a thing. Okay,
I'm sorry,
I'm listening.
Would you say who the three were? The first
okay.
one was the
Native American.
Oh, the Native American.
American,
okay.
African, and European. Those are the three views that they're
written
from.
Asking which of that group is the least qualified to, in their view, to tell anything about the story?
No. Okay, this is all I'm asking. I'm asking which is the authorized sanctioned version that you learn in the classroom. That's the authorized sanctioned version. Whatever you're reading in the classroom, that's what it is. And you never will hear the other two viewpoints.
The European view is the one that's accepted and kind of pushed down our throats.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I was taught in school, the European version.
Then what about the Native American one, who was here before all of us?
We don't get anything from them.
Okay, but that's not cool, because now the true version of the true people whose land it really is are
mm-hmm.
now called, you know, illegal aliens.
They have to carry IDs from what I'm hearing now. Mm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that went south, you know. I mean, if you're being attacked, mm-hmm. you know, you either die or you go to reservations or you do what? Or you flee south, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then you flee into Mexico, then you don't have to worry about that. And then once the land starts prospering and you come back, now you're an illegal alien when you come back to your land. So I've always been wondering, wait a minute, isn't that reverse? I mean, aren't we the illegal aliens?
Well,
and they are the true citizens?
I wouldn't say we're illegal, but
Wait. There's illegal aliens, no matter how we look at it. I know we put out, see, that's our problem. If we're in it, then we will rewrap it into we're going to put bows and ribbons on it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of dealing with the reality of the situation. And if we're truth seekers, we got to, it isn't going to go our way all the time. Matter of fact, it might say that, you know, what we believe and what we teach is all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we, you know, I mean, and as truth seekers, we got to be willing to what? Say, okay, that is truth about it, period.
Mm-hmm.
Because we remember the Bible says that if, you know, if we don't love the truth, he will send us a strong delusion that we might believe a lie, that we might be damned, because we love not the truth. So we don't want to fall in that category.
Right.
Not at all.
No. We don't want to fall in that category. That's a dangerous category to live in and be in. We don't want to be in that category at all. So what we want to do is, yes, okay, if we're illegal aliens, I'm willing to accept that. I'm an illegal alien. I'm willing to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is an illegal alien?
Well, you're not there legally.
Okay, and who makes the rules of what is legal and what is not?
The government in this case.
No, forget that, man. It's not their land. They're not the true people. So it really, we really can't give it back to them because they're calling the people whose land it is, they're on reservations.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically locked up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as I call it, that's a concentration camp. You're at war with them still, even though we don't declare it a war.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and Native Americans said that they've been lied to all the time. They speak with forked tongue. They promise them this. They take that. You know, that it's all a joke. And so, you know, it's really a sad thing that we can say we're under God and we treat Native Americans and steal their land and rob them and kick them off the land whenever we want. Oh, there's some gold here. You out of here. There's some oil here. Out of here. Okay?
Mm.
Okay, and under God, that do not match.
But
we have
that,
to deal with reality and try to understand, okay, that is true. And do we can we help in, you know, in freeing it? I mean, that's the bottom line. Are we going to be their friends or are we going to be their enemies? Are we going to do what Yahweh wants us to do, or are we going to do what the, you know, the broad way, though, the wide gate, the broad way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be and that go in thereat, and few, and straight is the way, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it.
Mm-hmm.
Which road are we going to go on? That's why in Revelation 18 it says, the what? Come out of her, my people. This is what it's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
In all aspects, including this.
Okay.
So that we can, you know, try to treat people like they, you know, like we're supposed to. And try to give them, you know, what they are due. I mean, not, you know, even though we find that we are here, even though we didn't come here, we was enslaved and brought here.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have a place here, and we're here. And so the truth, it's just like someone coming to Africa, okay? You come to Africa, you see that, hey, there's the gold in the South Africa, right? So let's take the goal, and what are you going to do with the people? Are you going to give them the goal?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just going to enslave them and make them work the mines? And I mean, come on, man. I mean, that's, you know. So the question is, now do you have these people who were born in South Africa, who have been ruling there as colonists, and now, you know, the time had come that, okay, that the Native Americans, the Native Africans in South America were saying, no, this can no longer happen. You can no longer run this country. This can no longer be. And they just massacred them. Just like they did the Native Americans. No different.
Mm-hmm.
And put them in shammy towns or whatever we want to call it. Now, who are the illegal aliens there?
The
and
Europeans.
Who are the true citizens?
The Europeans are the illegal aliens.
No, they're not called... They are no longer called Europeans. They're called Afrikaners.
Okay.
No problem. But they changed the name so that they can be what? Say that this is our land, too. So wait a minute. How could it be your land? You just stole it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you just kicked us out. You wipe us out. You know, take the gold. Okay? And now it's a rich country, and they built it, doing all of that stuff because, you know, where you find the mineral resources. Now, I'm finding something most interesting because today I was at a conference this month, I was at a conference where we were doing sustainability. That's what I did my presentation on. And we have all these different areas that people were covering. And they were concerned, and also at school, at Morgan State University, there's contracts. I don't have any, but there's contracts that some of the people have with the government. And their concern is, of why the Chinese are buying so much resources and so much land and trying to, you know, get everything that's in Africa. And then some of the Africans that were there, they were saying, well, what's the difference? You Europeans or Americans, who cares? Who takes it?
Uh-huh.
And they're saying, why should we care? We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the Chinese don't get it, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of y'all are giving it back to us.
Mm-hmm.
All y'all ripping us off. And so the whole point was that I was just sitting there like, oh, wow, man, this is getting out of hand here. So what I'm seeing is the same thing that was going on in the colonial days is still going on today, but now it is transferred into other parts of Africa. The Chinese want to get there because there's so many resources. There's natural resources out in Africa that people want. Before, the Europeans were the only ones that would get them. Now the Chinese have money, and so now they're spreading it and buying governments and buying land and taking it. So now it's like, okay, wait, why are you getting it and we not getting it? And the Native American, the Native Africans say it don't matter. Both of you, ain't none of y'all right.
Exactly.
And so, but they are saying, well, since you're in America and, you know, there's African Americans, you should sympathize with us. It's like, I'm sitting there like, wow, how dare we even tell people like this stuff. So anyway, but that's what was going on. So anyway, besides that same mentality has not changed because that's the way the South Africans were, and that's why they call themselves Afrikaners today. So it's okay for them to be Afrikaners. And I asked somebody, I met a guy, I think he was Afrikaner. I think so. I think he was Afrikaner. And, you know, I met him at the Wyatt, and he was saying, yeah, he's from Africa. He's African. I said, you ain't no African. You're a white guy, man. You ain't African. I said, wait a minute. First of all, you guys, if you're African, that means you have a lineage with the people of the land. You never married any of the people of the land. No, your parents never married any people of the land. Right. No, you kept your white culture, and you just colonized it, so you are not an African. No, he argued with me that he is an African. He's more African than me.
It doesn't matter where you're born. I thought that's how, you know, you say where you're born at. If you're born in Jamaica, you're Jamaican. Even if your parents is American and they go to Jamaica and live there and you're born in Jamaica, don't that make you a Jamaican?
Okay, but then let me ask you the question. That's what some would say. But then I ask the basic question, what passport do you have?
If I was born in Jamaica?
Mm-hmm. And your parents are American? Yep, and you're just a missionary there? That's what he was. His parents were missionaries there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see.
He has a United States citizenship, and he has a United States passport. He does not have a Jamaican airport.
Okay.
I mean, he can have dual citizenship, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not giving up that, just like the Afrikaners. They didn't give up their British citizenship.
Oh, okay.
And the guy, he's here in America. He's white. His parents didn't give up their American citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
He came over here, and he's like a normal American. I mean, and he's saying, no, man, I'm African. I said, yo, man, come on, get real. I said, listen, for you to be African, you got to pick up their culture, their tradition. For you to be African, that means you have got to marry the people, be in the people, and you become one with the people. Y'all did not become one with the people. You're a missionary. You go back home. The Afrikaners, they kept a separate lifestyle. They made sure you didn't marry with them. So, come on, you have nothing to do with Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, see, you guys got this thing all messed up. You guys want it in both worlds. See, you want to say that you're African because you were born in Africa, and that would be their teaching, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, you didn't give up your passport or your citizenship.
So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
So you're really playing a game with it. So basically it's a game that you're running, and now that I can think, I'm calling you out on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're normal, you don't call people out on the table because that's the way it is. You can have dual citizenship because you are who you are. And those are privileges that people have. So the point was, so depending on who's writing and running the thing, who's the illegal aliens in South Africa? And as some would say, it's the government who runs it that decides that. No, that's illegal. That's an illegal organization set up that colonized and ruling some area. They have nothing to do with the people. They're just using them. And when it's done, they split. Just to give you a good example, the internationalists make it more home. As we talk about the internationalists, Bush, President Bush said he was an internationalist. He does not care about America. He's just interested in the oil. So when he came into office, the oil was at one price. When he left office, it went it went through the roof. So now he's making all the money. So basically that's all it was about. So people are playing games with us and with pawns, which is, I mean, we just got to understand. It's not saying it's good or bad or the ugly. All we're doing is saying we just want to know what truth is so that we can make, you know, correct decisions.
Rational choices, yeah.
Right. We don't want to be on the point that, you know, we don't know anything and everybody thinks we're idiots. No, we're not idiots. We can think, and when we start thinking, there's trouble, because then we start seeing the world for what it is not. So anyway, so that's the reason why so you can see clearly that the South Africans or the Afrikaners are not African. But when we come here in America, for us to say that African Americans are not Americans because we're not the true Americans, because the true Americans in reservations, then we change our story. And we can't do that. If it applies one place, it has to apply the same here, even though we've been educated to believe the opposite. And so that's where I'm trying to get us to see, because when we study the Bible and when we study other things and events going around the world, unless we are willing to say that, hey, I'm in error or I'm in wrong or this is correct, then we're going to be in trouble. Because we're going to find out, because we've been miseducated, so as we find out what miseducation is, of where we've been miseducated, then we need to correct it. So if we're not willing to correct it because we are involved in it, because I'm an American and I don't believe I'm an illegal alien, and, you know, whatever justification we want to make, that's beside the point.
I think perhaps I misunderstood the question earlier, because I was comparing the three groups, and you said of the two, which is the illegal, and we said the Europeans, but in truth, I was thinking of it more from the prospect that, having understood that we're not we're from here. I was born here, so I guess you could say I'm an American, but in truth, that's not my roots. So that's why I think I took the position that I was not illegal, because legally, I mean, according to the legal land laws, I'm an American, I'm here, I was born here, but my roots are African. So I'm truly illegal in the sense of the bigger picture. And now, as you're bringing out the Native Americans were here first, then all of us are illegal but them.
You are correct. And they're not running the country, so but we are told that who's the illegal alien?
They are.
And who's the true citizens?
Well, now they're back again. It's the Europeans that they're saying are. However, we are included in that because we were born here, but we're not considered really full-fledged equal citizens. And I can accept that that's the way it is. So I'm not trying to skirt the truth.
Right.
I will call truth by its name. I just think I have to understand, when you ask a question, maybe to clarify my position as opposed to just trying to skirt the issue. I'm willing to take the issue, dear, but I don't think I belong here any more so than the Europeans do. But we were brought against our will, so I happen to be here.
Yeah, I agree, and I said that.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it.
Okay, so back to the Native Americans then being the true ones who should be here. Is that it?
Yeah, they're here and so forth. So the whole point is, remember, I mentioned that it takes three things that you need to look at when you're talking about people living in the land, as we read in the book. As we're reading in the book, the reason why I go through a paragraph at a time, because there's so much in the paragraph that's assumed. There's a lot of assumption in here.
Okay.
A friend of mine told me, Emmanuel, you better stop assuming that we are with you and that we're looking at it through the same eyes that you're looking at it, because we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I went through that paragraph in more detail. That's what it was saying in that one paragraph.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you did. Brought that
right
stuff there. Mm-hmm.
Right, because the guy mentions, he makes very clear that he says most people today assume that the people living in the lands mentioned in these books at the time they were written are the same people who occupy these lands today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we look at it. And so this is why I had to go through what I did, so you could see that, yeah, that's not quite right.
Not quite
that's
right.
Not quite right at all. And he makes it. The next sentence he says, nothing can be further from the truth. Now, what we accept as truth, he just said, is as far from the truth is as light is from darkness.
Wow.
And I didn't think we caught all of that in that one paragraph.
Oh, no, you certainly embellished on it. Appreciate that.
Yeah, that's what he would say. That's what he would say. But don't forget, I didn't write that. I didn't write the intro. But him and I discussed all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So that was to give us, I said, okay, yeah, so that's good. Okay, we've been on around 45 minutes. Let's take a five-minute break. It's around 2:15. Let's come back around It's around 2:15, so let's come back. Let's take a 15-minute break because I got to download this and do all those type of things. So let's come back around 2:30 so
okay.
we can pick up.
All right, then.